Hello, welcome to your politics, RTE's weekly politics podcast from Leinster House. It was a slightly besieged Leinster House with the protests going on this afternoon, but they appear to be dispersing. With me, Paul Cunningham and Micheál Lehane. You can't see her, but Sandra Hurley is also on the line. And the Doyle return and the sunshine, the protesters are back, Micheál.
Yeah, the protesters are back. There's a lot of security around the Doyle. I suppose that's the most striking thing about it. And even yesterday in the chamber, Danny Healy-Ray speaking about the difficulty that TDs were having getting in and out. That was understandable given what happened last year. But it did cause some annoyance among them, and it showed that things have changed here. I mean, there are going to be real big security precautions in place into the future now. That just seems to be part of political life. The Doyle itself, fairly heated exchange yesterday between Simon Harris and Mary Lou MacDonald on that question of spinal surgery, and in particular one child, Harvey, who's had a very long wait indeed for that surgery. It is a difficult issue for the new Taoiseach. It's a promise that he made as Minister for Health. He's saying a promise that he got an assurance from the HSE back at the time that no one would have to wait more than 4 months. It is something, though, that's presenting a difficulty. Apart from that, the general air around here was one of anticipation for a general election. As a result, most people seem to leave fairly early today. People are canvassing. It's in election mode already.
Yes, the sunshine, the politicians traipsing off to the ploughing, Sandra, they do that every year, but you definitely get the pre-election buzz off it all at the moment, don't you?
Yes, it was very quiet, noticeably, in Leinster House yesterday. I thought none of the excitement of a typical new Doyle term with all the politicians coming back. And yes, many of them certainly were at the ploughing or others saying. And I think it'll continue a bit like that, because when you speak to politicians, many of them are out canvassing 3 to 4 nights a week. And the speculation on the timing of a general election is endless, but it's going to continue, this level of speculation, unless the government either calls the election or it comes out and definitively says that it won't happen until next year. So as it stands, everyone is in election mode.
I suppose what you have to remember in all of this is that it was Taoiseach Simon Harris with agreements, no doubt, with the other coalition party leaders, in which they said they had to have the budget a week early on account of Jack Chambers, the finance minister, having to go for an ECOFIN meeting, a meeting of EU finance ministers in Brussels, a reason that no one believes. And what it seems to be is that they're creating space to have a look. Just look around the corner. Would you? Could we? Should we? What should we do? So I don't think, and I agree with what Sandra says, this speculation is going to continue until they either call the election or slam the door. And we probably won't know that until after the budget, possibly into the second week of the month.
And Micheál, the speculation had been between November the 15th and February the 12th. And every time Micheál Martin is out, every time Simon and Harris is out, there's all this talk about November versus February. Now, you were pointing out earlier today that in terms of the legislation that will enact the budget into law, there are votes in November. So does that rule out the 15th, for instance?
Yeah, it would. It would rule out the 15th, because the final committee stage day for the finance bill, which underpins everything, is the 7th of November. And it would have to go back to the Doyle then the following week, you would think. So that would push it, well, into early December, really, or the last days of November. So that does seem to rule that one out. So, I mean, officially, all the tracks are being laid, aren't they, for a normal course of events, that you're having the finance bill 9 days after the budget. But it could all change. But I suppose if that is going to change, it's going to have to perhaps have a signal on budget day that we're going to bring in a slimmed down finance bill, and it's going to happen fairly quickly. So it seems that the first mention or the first signal may have to come very soon after the budget if something's going to happen quickly.
So we should all be put out of our agony in a couple of weeks. Does it make any difference, February or November?
I suppose it depends on who you're asking for. The politicians, they want to go, both government side, opposition side. If you're chatting to them, they say, like, they've been canvassing through the summer. The idea of having another 6 months of canvassing to go is concerning them. I think from the public's point of view, I'm not so sure it makes a big difference whether it's November. From the politicians' point of view, though, if you're going to be knocking on the doors in January at a time when everyone's broke and it's cold, I think it's going to be a hard sell.
Mm-hmm. They do believe in Fine Gael, don't they, that they got it wrong twice in 2015 and again that they should have gone in November 2019. I don't think that's as easy proved as they make out. I mean, Kevin Cunningham has you know, shown definitively and spoken about this, that campaigns really decide it largely, and that's when trends get consolidated, and that's when the really decisive engagement by the public takes place. I mean, would that have been different in a slightly longer evening in November compared to the real darkness of early February, late January, early February? I don't know.
The other temptation that must be there for Fine Gael is when they look at the opinion polling at the moment, Sandra, because certainly for a party that's been in power for 13 years, the arrival of Simon Harris as Fine Gael leader and as Taoiseach seems to have given them a pretty substantial bounce.
Yes, and what's remarkable is that bounce seems to be continuing. We saw another opinion poll today, the Ipsos poll for the Irish Times. Fine Gael up 4 points, Sinn Féin down three, the three coalition parties together on 51%. Now, there's a margin of error there of 2.8%, but you'd have to think that that would concentrate minds. Now, in their public statements today, they were asked about this, the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste, the ploughing. Of course, they dismissed polls and said, you know, polls come and go. But you'd have to think that maybe if there's another good poll in about a month's time after the budget, that really the pressure will be on the Taoiseach and the other leaders to call the election and to capitalise on the momentum that seems to be building for them right now.
And the question is, I suppose, with the number of retirements Fine Gael is having, and Damien English, the latest, what is it now, 17?
17.
Out of the 35 not standing for re-election. I suppose the question, Paul, is going to be, can Fine Gael maximise whatever poll advantage they have if they're down on the incumbency thing, which is supposed to help you with re-election?
The wonderful thing about this is you can do it on the one hand and on the other hand. So on the one hand, you could say, this is a presidential-style campaign being led by Simon Harris. His presidential campaign is doing well. His personal ratings up, the party's up. So if they go to the country on that, then all boats will rise. And that would mean some of the councillors who haven't had the chance to engage with their constituents, they're going to be able to benefit from it. The other side of it is that these councillors, some of whom are sending out leaflets already, let me introduce myself to you, need more time. It needs to be in late February, if not March, so that they can actually make that connection. So depending who you're talking to, they go for one side or the other.
Well, you look at the Sinn Féin phenomenon the last time, though, where you had people who didn't even get elected to the council who were then able to get elected to the Dáil. If the wave comes in and there is momentum, does it matter so much who the candidate is? Is that different, though, for someone, a party who's been in government for a very long time? Sinn Féin in that election was the alternative, and that was the alternative vote. Is it different then for a government party? Do their candidates need to be on the ground for longer? I think there's definitely some people in Fine Gael who think that, but it's a minority.
Yes, and the other thing to bear in mind in terms of the polls is it's 20% undecided. As you say, the pollster Kevin Cunningham, campaigns matter. Whatever the polls suggest now, and I'm worn out with all this speculation and prognostication.
I love it.
Actually, do you know what? We're really bad at doing it. God knows what'll be happening next November or next February. I mean, look at 2020 and COVID coming along, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. But what you can say is there is momentum or there is a trend. And the momentum at the moment appears to be with the government, particularly with Fine Gael and Simon Harris.
There has to be a turn. And despite the cynicism about politics and everything else, if you give clear indications that you're going to go until February, I suppose Simon Harris's language isn't as definitive. When he's speaking today, he talks about the government finishing its work. That's different now to full term. It's a scale back.
And full term doesn't necessarily mean 25 only.
No, but Micheál Martin thinks full term to mean February. That's what it means to him. It hasn't meant that for Simon Harris for quite some time now. So he does want to preserve that option. There's no doubt about that.
Just we mentioned.
But I do think, like people say, well, a row can be staged. Well, there hasn't been an awful lot of rows. So if one is staged...
No, and I think Simon Harris made this really clear last week and at his thinking. He doesn't want a breakup with, you know, a bad breakup with his coalition partners to end the coalition. Exactly. And that was the point he was kind of clearest on in terms of the election speculation. So in that sense, does Micheál Martin have the whip hand more than Roderick O'Gorman?
Yes, is the short answer. But I do think that, as Micheál said, at some point you have to end up believing these guys. I think to a certain extent, though, I don't see that point being reached until after the budget, because the option is there.
Yeah.
And the fact that there's an option, that feeds the speculation, and that speculation will not stop.
But I suppose, like, what is the turn going to be if Micheál Martin says it's ideal time to go in February? How is it no longer ideal a few weeks later? That's going to have to be explained. And there is cynicism about politicians and the like. I just think that takes a lot more work than some of the backbenchers who are eager to hit the trail now suggest.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the budget then and the pre-budget kite flying. We're all going to be €1,000 better off, according to Finance Minister Chambers, Sandra.
Yes, that's right. Jack Chambers said that at his at the Fianna Fáil think-in earlier this week. Very quick, I think, to try and get some Fianna Fáil ownership on that good news. And it seems that that's probably higher in terms of the tax cuts generally that we've seen in recent years. Micheál was reporting also that an energy credit could be around €250, whether it's one energy credit or two. So the budget kites are certainly flying, and it just appears this year that they are. There's a few more of them than usual. I mean, we always get pre-budget kite flying, but the coalition parties are really eager, I think, to take credit for a lot of the good news that they are expecting. Mm-hmm. The Green Party, of course, were out a while ago talking about the extra payment for newborn families to help them with those early few months. And it just seems pretty endless. And we know that they have a lot of money to spend. There's extra money coming in also from those AIB receipts. There's money in related to Apple, which won't be spent in the budget itself, but we're going to get that outlined. We now understand on budget day. That's what the Taoiseach Simon Harris said at his parliamentary party meeting last night.
I mean, it's remarkable, isn't it, when you look across the water and you see Keir Starmer and the, you know, the huge black hole in the public finances, and here we are, and you know, it's literally loads of money. The question, how to spend it. Just on that €1,000 better off, though, Paul. I mean, that's interesting when you set it against what the Fiscal Advisory Council said about government overspending, pushing up inflation and putting a burden of €1,000 in costs on households.
And the government respects, the Fiscal Advisory Council has to say, always interested in hearing what they have to say.
Didn't they establish it?
They do take a left-hand turn and go somewhere else. I think there's, at some point, there has to be an issue for IFAC. How long can it be that you're an organisation which is set up as a result of the crash and the disaster that caused, not just to the economy, this thing that no one understands, but people's lives were absolutely wrecked by it. And this body was specifically created to try and ensure we don't make the mistakes of the past. It's been ringing the bell year on year in relation to spending.
Which is 13% already, isn't it, ahead of last year? Yeah.
And, you know, once again, like if you look at, say, something like the Department of Health, supplementary budgets again, no one can actually explain why this happens comprehensively. I think there's an issue of credibility for IFAC itself. Like, how long can you continue doing a job when no one's listening to you?
IFAC must go, says Cunningham.
Headline.
The political parties seem more concerned about getting credit for whatever is going to come on the big issues, housing and childcare in particular.
Yeah, childcare is going to be a big one, and it's going to be a big election issue. I suppose if you do look to the fact that if there is an election before Christmas, there is that money, that old money for the cost of living package, which is all going to be paid out kind of in that period anyway before Christmas. That was more than $2 billion last year. To demonstrate their fiscal rectitude this time, it will be less than $2 billion, but there's still a chunk of money there, and it's out of that you'll get at least that first energy credit and the double payments again. So that money can be dispatched like really quickly, and it kind of is under the radar somewhat.
How much toing and froing can we expect between the government and the opposition on the Apple tax money and how it should be spent? As you say, Sandra, we were told by we know in the budget, but you know, we're being told it can only go on infrastructure. There's only a couple of big infrastructure projects, really, aren't there? Or else it can go into the savings fund.
Well, water, Micheál Martin is big into water treatment services now, and how that's delaying planning and preventing the building of homes across the country. That seems to be taking up a big chunk of it. Peter Burke has already flagged the problems with the national grid. I suppose they're two big ones. It's how detailed will it be on budget day, isn't it? I mean, principles now largely
Sinn Féin
agreed.
Would take $1 billion, wouldn't it? They out of that for
so that was announced at their thinking on Monday, in which they said €1 billion will go to working class communities in relation to infrastructure, things like playgrounds, art centres, sports clubs, that they had been unfairly hit due to austerity, and now it was time to pay them back. So that was one initiative. What we understand is that the Finance Minister, Jack Chambers, has presented an outline to the coalition leaders. He's now working on a detailed plan that would be going to the leaders for a decision, along with the Public Expenditure Minister, Pascal Donoghue, in, you know, a couple of days or a couple of hours before the budget. But it was notable that this plan was being cooked up But the Taoiseach Simon Harris decided to go into his Fine Gael Parliamentary Party meeting last night and just tell everyone about this, which came as something of a surprise, Micheál.
I think it did.
Yeah.
I think it did to other people
Wasn't
in government.
Wasn't he saying it was utterly irresponsible to talk about how we'd spend it a week or so ago?
Oh, yes. Yes, but now principles and parameters allow you to speak about anything, provided it's just principles and parameters.
Yeah,
Aunts who are getting a bit exercised about the principle of extending free contraception to 16-year-olds, given that that's 1 year below the age of consent. Isn't that right, Sandra?
Yes, the Health Minister, Stephen Donnelly, has come out and said he wants to look in the budget to extend that free contraception, which at the moment is it's free for women aged 17 to 35. He wants to move it also to 16-year-olds. The issue, as you mentioned, is that the age of consent is 17. But we hear from GPs that 16-year-olds are sexually active. They're looking for contraception. They're looking to prevent unwanted pregnancies. So it does seem like a pragmatic move. Other politicians like Labour's Ivana Bacik have been supportive of it. But Aonthu's Padraig Tobin is not happy. He said it's the kind of thing that could allow teenagers to be subjected to peer pressure. But I think generally it's the kind of practical measure, and Stephen Donnelly has brought this free contraception in sort of incrementally over several budgets. It's the type of thing that the government will go back to voters with. It's a practical measure that makes a real difference in people's lives. Mm. And it is something that they will be talking about in an electoral campaign. They'll certainly mention it.
It's interesting, isn't it, Micheál? I mean, you look at the roasting that Simon Harris's Taoiseach was getting in the Dáil yesterday, going back to his time as Minister for Health and the commitments he'd given on scoliosis. And normally health ministers in Ireland have a pretty kind of torrid time in their ministry. But Minister Donnelly is not getting roasted over scoliosis in the same way. He's talking about free contraception.
It's amazing how Stephen Donnelly has managed to achieve this for someone who at times even among his colleagues would be looked upon with a degree of scepticism as to how he approaches things. He does seem to have ascended into a higher place when it comes to criticism and even winning praise from Leo Varadkar, now Leo Varadkar, the backbencher, who says that Stephen Donnelly is doing a load of things in the background, the legacy of which will be seen. But whether politicians on the opposition side just somewhere along the way during COVID decided there was just no point trying to land jabs on Stephen Donnelly because it just doesn't work. But not alone was he talking about free contraception this week, he was also talking about other things and the possibility of the drug Ozempic, which can be used for weight loss, how that could possibly in the future become more widely available and how it could be part of the drugs payment scheme. So he is hitting a note on issues that are relevant to people.
All right, we'll see how all that develops. Two things to talk about before we leave you today. A good week for Michael McGrath, Paul.
Yes, Michael McGrath finally found out what job he has. He's been wandering in the wilderness like King Lear, hoping to find out. Now he knows he's got justice and the application of the rule of law right across the European Union. That is a tough job. You were having to deal with some people like the Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban, who takes a particular view, and he has to decide out on what his strategy is. The government has been saying it's a substantial role. It certainly is. Would be viewed as sort of like a middle-ranking role. I'm sure that he would have much preferred if it had been something to do with economics. But, you know, so people are evaluating this. To what extent does this tell us anything about how Ms. von der Leyen views Ireland or the European Union as an entity views Ireland? How much influence have we got? And that is still to be played out from Michael McGrath's point of view, though. He's got the gig. He's up and running. Off he goes.
So we used to be seen as one of the little countries that kind of overplayed their role within the European Union. Does this suggest we're slipping down the pecking order?
I think there certainly is a feeling of that. But although the Taoiseach and Taoiseach obviously enough saying that this is a weighty portfolio. Interesting to me, Micheál Martin adamant that the Fianna Fáil MEPs voting against Ursula von der Leyen had absolutely no impact in the role that Michael McGrath was assigned.
But how would he know?
How would he? Well, he spoke to her, he said, and she's long past it. Long past it.
But she remembered it, though, did she?
Yeah, well, we did better than the French out of the whole thing, didn't we? I mean, that whole row with Thierry Breton and what was said to Macron and wasn't, and were the French duped
on
the portfolio
about,
they got?
No, they did not send the two names through. And there was this issue of the Taoiseach Simon Harris referring the Commission President back to the treaties in relation to the powers of a member state. There was just that little bit of a rub there, which would make people wonder.
Yeah, and Ms. von der Leyen sticking to her guns on the issue of gender parity, and certainly while there may
she
over-promoted women compared with the number of nominations she got. I think she was sending a message there.
Yeah.
Let's wrap up with...
When it comes to female participation at the Dáil, Ireland is currently 103rd in the world. Yeah.
Yes. Actually, we'll talk more as well about the parties and because the gender quota will be coming into play more, the 40% for the next general election. I think most of them are there or thereabouts at the moment, but we'll talk about that in more detail another day. But we can't go without talking about the bike shed and the political search for why the bike shed at Leinster House came to cost €335,000.
It's not a shed, is it? It's a
shelter.
Shelter.
Oh, sorry. It is a very pretty shelter.
Yes, it is.
It's very elegant.
It's an exhibit. Doesn't
work,
isn't it? You know,
get your bike wet.
Near the galleries.
So the OPW are being called in.
Yeah, the OPW go before the Oireachtas Commission. That's a behind closed doors organisation, but it is the one that really has the budget for here to explain. I think the big thing to explain is why there weren't any red lights when the cost became clear. That seems to be what is troubling the Crown Coroner, Seán Ó Fíorchaoin, most, who described it as an unwarranted waste of taxpayers' money or use of taxpayers' money and being a profound embarrassment. The Public Accounts Committee too, on the 10th of October, if the Dáil is still here on the 10th of October, will also hear from the OPW to get to the root of it.
There were issues, weren't there? There were issues about the drains in Leinster House couldn't get clogged, work couldn't be carried on when the Dáil was sitting.
Yeah, Ken Fox is reporting on that today. And basically, last September, since September 2023, the expectation was that it would be done and dusted by the end of the year.
Okay.
And then it was delayed into January, delayed into February, delayed into March. And suddenly one can see prices going up when things are delayed, as we found out from the National Children's Hospital.
The last time I got up on a bicycle, I crashed into a child in a buggy. So I don't think it's a good idea that I would do it again. Sandra, you're not a cyclist, are you? Have you used the bike shed at Leinster House?
I haven't used the bike shed. I have occasionally cycled to Leinster House, but I come in at the other side from the Kildare Street side rather than the Merrion Street side. And there certainly was plenty of bike parking on that side. I think questions being asked about why, when there was requests for better bike parking and some shelter, but this actually doesn't provide shelter, as has been remarked upon by a lot of people. I think there would be a lot of cynicism publicly if there aren't answers as to how the money became so large and who signed off on it and how it got through what should be a system of checks and balances. If nobody is found to blame for this, I think it would be something that won't go down well with the public.
And I think maybe this is why the Crown Coroner, Seán Ó Fíorchaoin Mícheál, was so exercised about this, because it's, again, we're a country where there's an awful lot of money. We've been talking about the budget. The government's got billions left, right and centre. And the issue is, in fact, not spending it. But the question people have again and again is about the capacity to deliver. And why is everything so expensive? Why is a hospital so expensive? Why is a bike shed so expensive? Why is a house so expensive?
Yeah, and I mean, in some ways, when you don't have resources, there is a degree of political cover, isn't there? It's a lack of resources. And now when you have a lot of money flowing around the coffers, well, that cover goes, and it's all about management and strategy. And the bike shed one is even more curious, because it's something that is a huge amount of money by any standards. It is. But it doesn't seem to have made its way up to the top tier of the civil service, or certainly onto any ministerial desk. Now, if it had gone onto a ministerial desk, I would say there would be a fair degree of explanations how it didn't really get into the minister's desk. I mean, we've all heard in the past of inside and outside offices and files not making it fully into ministers' offices, of files going down behind heaters and the like. This happens too, you know.
Remarkable. Okay, well, on that note, we're going to leave.
Sounds
you.
Mysterious.
I don't want to know more, actually. On that
it goes way back, doesn't it, to the nursing home issue, and there were files that were meant to go into a health minister's office that didn't make it. They made it to the outer office but not to the inner office.
See, the listener is going to be left with the impression that you know more than you're saying.
No, it's all out there. It's just sometimes files don't make it all the way to a minister.
Right.
But in this case, the file never went near a minister at all.
But the files are all in Mícheál's head. In his head.
There should be accountability, Dara O'Brien said in the Dáil today. Politicians are always accountable.
There we go. We'll see what flows from that. And we'll talk to you again next Thursday. For the moment, from Your Politics, goodbye.